This is Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4. We have text number 2 written there, but I'm going to start reading text number 1. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Imam Vivashate Yogam Proktavanaham Aviyam Vivashvan Manave Praha Mano Ikshvakave Bravit. The personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna, said, I instructed this imperishable science of yoga to the sun god Vivashvan, and Vivashvan instructed to Manu, the father of mankind, and Manu in turn instructed to Ikshvaku. Text number 2. Evam parampara praptam. Imam rajarshayo vidu. Sakaleneha mahata. Yoga nashta parantapa. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. This supreme science is thus received through the chain of disciple succession, and the saintly kings understood in that way. But in course of time, the succession was broken, and therefore the science as it is appears to be lost. Please repeat. This supreme science was thus received through the chain of disciple succession. And the saintly kings understood in that way. But in the course of time, the succession was broken. And therefore the science as it is appears to be lost. Purport. It is clearly stated that the Gita was especially meant for the saintly kings, because they were to execute its purpose in ruling over the citizens. Certainly Bhagavad Gita was never meant for the demoniac persons who would dissipate its value for no one's benefit and would devise all types of interpretations according to personal whims. As soon as the original purpose was scattered by the motives of the unscrupulous commentators, there arose the need to reestablish the disciple succession. 5,000 years ago, it was detected by the Lord Himself that the disciple succession was broken, and therefore He declared that the purpose of the Gita appeared to be lost. In the same way, at the present moment, also, there are so many editions of the Gita, especially in English. But almost all of them are not according to the authorized disciple succession. There are innumerable interpretations rendered by different mundane scholars, but almost all of them do not accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, although they make a good business on the words of Sri Krishna. This spirit is demoniac, because demons do not believe in God, but simply enjoy the property of the Supreme. Since there is a great need of an edition of the Gita in English, as received by the Parampara, the disciple succession system, an attempt is made herewith to fulfill this great want. Bhagavad Gita, accepted as it is a great boon to humanity, but if it is accepted as a treatise of philosophical speculations, it is simply a waste of time. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Taramane Namaste Sarasvatunde Ve Gauravani Bhacharane Nirvishesha Shunivari Paskadyade Satarne. So Prabhupada used to give great emphasis upon the idea of disciple succession. It is not that our disciple succession consists of one or two authorities. It's a unbroken chain of authorities coming down from time immemorial. And the idea is that anyone who's in the current disciple succession has to understand the desires of the previous acharyas. And it is not that simply by becoming an official initiating guru, then whatever I say is perfect. No one is actually guru because whatever one says is perfect. Not that if one becomes a guru, initiating guru or a shiksha guru, what everyone says is perfect. But if anyone, whatever they say is perfectly in line with the previous acharyas, then they're guru. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Yari Deka Tarikaha Krishna Upadesh Amara Agar Guruhana Taradesh. Whoever you meet, you should tell them about Krishna, and that way become a guru. But to tell them about Krishna means we have to understand Krishna in truth ourselves and know what to tell people about Krishna. Therefore, in one sense, Krishna consciousness is extremely simple if we're clear in our consciousness. And it's extremely difficult and complicated if we're not. And as conditioned souls, generally speaking, we don't see everything perfectly. First of all, even the most basic philosophy, that we're not this body, hopefully we theoretically understand it, but we don't see it perfectly. And therefore, whatever we do, there's going to be some kind of misconception along with it, because we're absorbed in misconceptions. On the other hand, we're trying to figure out exactly what Krishna wants us to do so that we can do that to please Him. If we're not interested in what Krishna wants us to do, then how can we be interested in trying to please Krishna? Prabhupada gives the example that if someone asks their servant to go get them a glass of water, and the servant says, well, glass of water is insignificant, this man deserves a chocolate milkshake. And therefore he brings a chocolate milkshake. Because that's his conception of what is necessary to please his authority. But his authority asks for a glass of water. So it would be simpler just to bring him a glass of water, because that's what he wants, than concoct one's own idea of what the person wants and bring him a chocolate milkshake and find out he's allergic to chocolate. So in one sense, everything is extremely simple. Another sense, unless we take the time to find out what Krishna wants under different circumstances, everything becomes extremely complicated. Of course, we may have faith that my current authority, he knows what Krishna wants. But that's called blind following. Or as Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. One should not only hear submissively, but one should get a clear understanding through submission, service, and inquiries. In other words, we also have a responsibility to know what Krishna wants in general. And that's called hearing the scriptures. As Krishna will later go on to say, that there are three gates leading to hell. Trividana arakasyadam dwaram nashitam atmanaha. Kama, Krodha, Tata, Lovas, Tasman, Etam, Trayam, Chaja. There are three gates leading to hell: lust, anger, and greed. Now, anyone who thinks they're free from lust, anger, and greed must be liberated, must think they're a liberated soul. But if we're a liberated soul, then we wouldn't identify in any way with a gross or subtle material body. And if we do still identify ourselves with this gross and subtle body, then we couldn't be a liberated soul. And that, therefore, we must be influenced to one degree or another by lust, anger, and greed. Now, that's the problem. But there's a solution to the problem. And Krishna says, Yakshasra vidim istrija vartate kamakarata nisasadim avapnoti na sukham na param gitim. That one who gives up the scripture and acts whimsically can have neither peace nor happiness nor the supreme destination. So wouldn't everyone like, of course we've come here to go to the supreme destination, certainly we'd like some peace, Because Slovenia is quite peaceful compared to India, where I just came, Vrindavan. So it may not be as spiritual as Vrindavan, but it's certainly more peaceful. And now the happiness. Everyone wants happiness. Everything we're doing is more or less for happiness. And of course, peace is a preliminary requirement for happiness. But we can't find it unless we're clear exactly what we're supposed to do, what Krishna wants us to do. Now we have plenty of things to do. Everyone has will spend the time somehow or another. But how much time are we going to spend according to what Krishna wants us to do? So that takes some determination to find out what Krishna wants us to do. If we don't have that determination, we're not even caught. We just, well, anyhow, Krishna wants me to eat prasadam. And when I'm tired, Krishna wants me to go to sleep. Life is simple. But Krishna may want us to do a few other things on the way. So to find out, we have to consult with Shastra. And therefore, Prabhupada gave us so many books. And they're just not his books. It's not that Prabhupada was on an ego trip and he wanted to write books so he can get his book, name in the Guinness Book of Records about how many books he wrote. Or he wrote so many books so we could sell them and get enough money to pay for the prasadam. That's not why Prabhupada wrote the books. He wrote the books so we can read them and therefore assimilate them and therefore get an idea what Krishna wants us to do. And there is a process of getting that idea that's explained in the books. For instance, if we want to find out what Krishna wants us to do, we have to be a little bit submissive and humble. We have to understand that Krishna is not an ordinary personality, an ordinary master, and therefore he's paying us a certain amount of money, and we should find out what he wants us to do, or else he'll fire us. No, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the controller of everything, the enjoyer of everything, and the friend of everyone. So Krishna wants to tell us what to do for our benefit. He's trying to convey his message through his guru, through sadhu, and through shastra, in order to give us some idea of what we can do to get out of the bodily concept of life, first of all. And eventually come to the platform of becoming a loving servant of Krishna and therefore becoming conscious of him. So Krishna has given us so many things to do and how to do them. It's not just what to do, but how to do it and what mood we should do them in. What should be our mood? And of course, Prabhupada writes in the same verse that satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is a secret advancement in spiritual life. So, who's the self-realized spiritual master in our society? At least theoretically, we take it for granted that Prabhupada is the self-realized spiritual master. Can anyone else be self-realized? Of course, it's not that. Prabhupada was the self-realized spiritual master and there's only one of them. And therefore no one should try to become self-realized because that would be trying to take Prabhupada's position. No, everyone is supposed to become self-realized. That was the whole aim of the Hare Krishna movement. It's not limited to one person, but that depends upon following the instructions and the example of someone who's self-realized. That's called the succession. That Prabhupada didn't wake up one day and become self-realized. He happened to get the right amount of rest that day and ate the right amount of prasadam. And he woke up the next day and he was self-realized. No, he became self-realized by sincerely understanding the example and the instructions of his spiritual master and sincerely trying to carry them out. And therefore he made spiritual advancement. The same way any one of us can make spiritual advancement by understanding our connection with the disciple succession. Now the question comes, if I have an authority and they're not very learned, they don't really examine the instructions given by Prabhupada. For instance, I'm reading one book by Jayadvaita Swami, and in it he compiled different instructions about kirtan. How Srila Prabhupada wanted kirtan to be performed. When Srila Prabhupada came to Buffalo in 1969, that was like a year after I joined, and you couldn't believe how many concoctions we came up with in terms of kirtan, in terms of the melody and what we were singing, and just in 1 year, the movement only had started a couple of years before that, and already we were off to a bad start. We had more mantras at that time. Gopal, Gopala, Gopal. Yeah, they just came from India because there were some devotees in India. And although the telephone was not utilized at all for long distance, in India, if you wanted to make a long distance telephone call, you had to schedule it a week in advance in 68. You had to, it was called a trunk call. You had to schedule it a week in advance. And if you got paid for the special rapid telephone call, then you schedule it and it only took a day to get through to the other side. It's called a trunk call. The operator would call up another operator, would call up another operator, would call up another operator. And you say, hello, 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 hello. But mail was there, slow mail, but in the mail they were coming through with all these mantras and tunes and whatever else. Those who came from India, who were in India. So Prabhupada listened to us because he came and we were doing kirtan, and he gave his instructions of what we shouldn't do, which was quite a bit. We had our tunes, we had one Ganga tune. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Like we were floating on the Ganga. So Prabhupada didn't like all these concoctions we were coming up with. What to speak of these? Gopala, Gopala, Jai Jai Gopala. Prabhupada said, no, we should sing the tunes of the previous acharyas. That Prabhupada, it wasn't that Prabhupada was like devoid of any musical skill, and therefore he was very unimaginative. And he just stuck to certain tunes, like the morning tune for the Mangala Arati, or certain mantras. No, he understood that if we carried out the orders of the disciple succession, what they were doing, and part of what Prabhupada was doing is trying to make our lives simple, because otherwise we have a tendency, especially in the Western world, and now in India, of course, the whole world has a tendency, just to speculate, come up with something new. Prabhupada said, stand on your hands and clap your feet. Do something new. Do something original. Be outstanding. But no, Prabhupada, he presented certain tunes, a way of doing things, to make our lives simple, not to torture us, to make us feel like we were dummies, we couldn't use our imagination. The problem is, we use our imagination too much, in the wrong way. So therefore Prabhupada constantly corrected the tune, what we were singing. And after Prabhupada left, it was like free for all, now we're free. Prabhupada's left, we're free to do whatever we want. The old man is left and now we're free. And therefore we find in ISKCON, even in the terms of chanting Hare Krishna and everything else, just like we had when I was in Vrindavan, there's one devotee. He kept on coming up to me because in Vrindavan is like amazing how many people attend the program there. And so we go around the temple and there's a kirtan after Guru Pooj. And there's one devotee who always tries to grab my arm and do a swirling around. No, it's considered completely normal. Like if you don't do that, you're considered to be, you know, a wallflower. They call it. But Prabhupada, I was there. Personally, I had experience when Radha Damodar came to Chicago in 1974, I believe, and I had brought from San Francisco through L.A., drove all the way to Chicago. We had brought three sets of Gornitai deities for Prabhupada to install in the Radha Damodar buses. And we had 100 Radha Damodar devotees there. And Prabhupada was sitting on the Vyasasan. And it was kirtan. And the Radha Damodar devotees wanted to show Prabhupada how enthusiastic they were. And they were doing the hot step. And, you know, swirling around. And Prabhupada said, stop. And everyone was shocked. You know, Prabhupada, we're in ecstasy. Why are you stopping us? And Prabhupada put his hands up and said, Hare Krishna, Hare. The Swami step. He was back in the Swami step. The back to the primitive Swami step. No more hot footing. You know, hot footing is, you go, your feet are going so fast that the sparks are coming off the floor. Or as Rita Ananda Maharaj once said in Brazil, when they wanted all the ladies to leave the temple, Rita Ananda Maharaj said, well, if all the ladies left the temple, who would the brahmacharis dance for? So Prabhupada, why this simple step, you know, back and forth, if you watch, you know, sometimes probably in an ecstasy or jump, but you know, this simple step, because then you can actually concentrate on the holy name rather than your footsteps. I'm faster than you are. No, you can actually, the whole idea is to concentrate on the holy in a happy mood, loving mood. So Prabhupada stopped it. But if someone stops the enthusiastic kirtans now, you're considered to be a demon. You're stopping our ecstasy. So, if we go further and further away from the actual purpose of what we're here for, and we change the mood, we change the activities, and we don't refer them back to Prabhupada, then our connection with the disciple succession becomes weaker. It may not be completely severed, but it becomes weaker. And therefore our ability to concentrate, which is what all the instructions are for, and actually give our love to Krishna, the purpose becomes lost in millions of tunes. Even in Vrindavan, I was standing next to the temple president, who's a very nice devotee. He comes to all the programs, and the programs there in the morning are quite long. They have, this program starts at 4:10 in the morning, the Samadhi Arati, and it goes all the way to 9 o'clock. And he's always there. So we were, during Guru Puja, there's one devotee who's going, whang, bang, and I have my earplugs because I always ask the devotees, can you hear the drum when they're banging? Because if you can't hear the drum, you're really in trouble. It means it's gone so far, you've become deaf. So I was reading in Prabhupada's, in the book, that Prabhupada said, you know, the drum should be nicely played. It should be beautifully played. In the artik, it says that the mridanga and the cartels were chiming very beautifully, sweetly. Not that now we're going to show our enthusiasm. Bang! I'm in ecstasy. I'm so absorbed I can't hear anything anymore. No, it is we're not trying to show ourselves how powerful we are during the kirtan, how fast we can spin around, how loud we can sing Hari Bol, kirtan. Chant the holy name. And you never get a chance to chant the holy name. Because you're just telling everyone to chant. Now, Prabhupada, generally speaking, he had a very simple kirtan. had a very simple way of doing things. He gave his instructions how to do it. And this is only one example of what to follow, how to follow it. He gave his instructions on deity worship, on how to do the initiation ceremony. Nowadays, if you do an initiation ceremony, you call in all 32 million demigods. I probably didn't call in any demigods. It saved at least a couple hours of initiation ceremonies. You didn't have to call in 32 million demigods. You just had to call in Krishna and the previous acharyas. And that would seem to be sufficient. But we've decided to add things on that Prabhupada was too simple. He just gave us, you know, Krishna and Srimati Radharani and the holy names and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We have to add something on or else it's not exciting anymore. We have to make it more and more interesting. And the result is we become more and more confused, more and more complicated, and everyone has a different idea of what to do, different idea of what mantras to chant, a different idea how to perform anything, Gaur Aarti, to perform initiation ceremony, what things to offer in prasadam. It's all become very complicated, and our present acharyas, present authorities, they all have a different idea. So that's not very good, because Prabhupada had a definite idea. He gave a definite instructions, and if we simply go back to the simple instructions he gave us, try to find out what they are and follow them, the result is we'll actually get the full mercy of the succession. Otherwise, where these things enter into, all these different mantras and things like that, they usually come from something outside the disciple succession, and by chanting them, who are we actually trying to please? Who are we actually following? But if we are clear what Prabhupada wanted us, as a representative, not just his ideas, but he actually represented the disciple succession, then we'll get their mercy, which includes the six Goswamis, the Panchatattva, and ultimately the Krishna and his associates in the spiritual world. And if we don't follow their example and instructions, then it's very doubtful exactly who we're following and what potency we're going to get, where we're going to get some mercy from. Even devotees sometimes, when they were chanting in these bhajans, they started, in order to make, enthuse others in the crowd, to be all-inclusive, to be liberal, they started to chant Om Shivaya Namaha. And it's doubtful Lord Shiva will even give us his mercy. Of course, Durga will give us her mercy and pound us into little bits. But that's not the idea. The idea is we should be faithful. We should have faith in Prabhupada. That he was, I remember Rupanuga, my temple president, was telling me that Prabhupada, he had faith even just by associating with Prabhupada and actually feeling he was in the spiritual world by Prabhupada's presence. Of course, if we follow Prabhupada's instructions in any circumstance, then we'll actually remember Prabhupada. We'll remember the artists of succession, remember the six Goswamis, remember the Panchatattva, and ultimately we'll feel the separation that they were feeling from Krishna and his associates in the spiritual world, and our lives will become perfect. And if we follow anything else, then it's very doubtful exactly what our results were going to be. Certainly it will become disunited, because everyone will come up with some other concoction. And the original meaning, the original purpose of the disciple succession will be lost. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Which edition of the Bhagavad Gita is this?
Well, I think any edition that convinces us that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead is good. As far as the differences in the Bhagavad Gita is currently, I don't think there's so much of a difference. Both of them agree that Krishna is God. There may be some technical differences in terms of grammar or some presentation, but there's not that much difference. There's some mistakes, and they're trying to correct them. I mean, like the original Bhagavad Gita, Macmillan edition, you know, had things like, there's a planet of trees. Because when Prabhupada was dictating, he said into his dictaphone, planet of pit trees. And the person, devotee who was transcribing, didn't know about the planet of pit trees. So he thought, or she thought, that Prabhupada was talking about a planet of trees. But he wasn't. He was talking about the planet of pit trees. So the mistakes like that obviously should be corrected. As far as over-enthusiastic corrections that they made, usually they're pretty innocent. They're not so much, they don't disclaim or cast doubts about Krishna's supremacy. It's more technical things. And to fight over the whole thing, we'll just lose the point. We should try to work together and to spread Krishna consciousness, not fight over technicalities. Anything else? Yes.
Thank you for inspiring lecture. I would just like to ask, how can we like really become determined that we would like to sincerely follow Srila Prabhupada's instruction, like how can we really try to become sincere, what can help us really become sincerely desirous?
Read Prabhupada's books every day. Try, first of all, remember what the Prabhupada said. Because otherwise it's one ear and out the other ear. So we should remember that. And then we should try to compare it to see what it means in terms of similar instructions given under different circumstances. So we understand more clearly what Prabhupada was talking about when he gave the instructions and why he was giving them. Then if we assimilate the knowledge, then we should become convinced enough that we know what to do. And we should do whatever we're doing for Krishna with some conviction. And then as we become convinced that we're applying it even under difficult circumstances, and then Krishna blesses us with real spiritual understanding, then we can apply it in our relationships to make them more skillful, more devotional. And all our activities more skillful and devotional. And then by absorbing ourselves and remembering Krishna all the time in the mood of devotion, we can develop the same qualities as Krishna and develop the qualities and the character of a pure devotee. And that will be very pleasing to everyone, especially our acharyas, to follow that path. Anything else? Kala Granthiraj Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.